You know, sometimes I'll take it easy on the last song if I'm preaching because I want to try to save my voice for the sermon, but you can't do that on a song like that. You just have to be loud. It's a great song. Well, we're continuing in our series on the glories of the incomparable Christ tonight from the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, you could open up to Hebrews chapter 1. There's a favorite comic strip that my wife and I have, and it kind of has to do a lot with the interplay between the brain and the heart. And so those are the two characters in the comic strip, and you know, the heart is very happy-go-lucky, positive, always looking optimistically at things, noticing the good, whereas the brain is more kind of careful, calculated, thinking, maybe you'd say he's pessimistic. One example of a comic strip that we liked was, you know, the heart is online looking at his computer and he says, hey, we get $75. If we spend $75, we get free shipping. And then the brain says, we're not spending $73 more to get free shipping. But my favorite comic of this series is this picture of the heart, and he's looking at this huge pile of all these good things. You know, everything's good. There's a butterfly on top, and the heart is just really excited. Then it pans over to the brain, and the brain has found one tiny little bad thing, and he's standing over it with a magnifying glass looking at it. And the heart is telling the brain, hey, look at all this great stuff. And the brain says, I can't. Can't you see that I'm busy? And the reason that I like that particular comic strip is that it gets at that tendency we all have. No matter how many good things there are, we tend to focus on that one difficult thing. You know, no matter what glories we see in Christ, sometimes if there's a difficulty that we're experiencing in this life, we just tend to focus on that and we forget all these good things, or we're not willing to think about these good things that we have in Christ. And the book of Hebrews, in many ways, is written to a people like that. They've experienced all the glories of Christ, and yet they've come upon persecution, they come upon hard times, and they're tempted to turn away from all the good things they know about Christ to just focus on these bad things and wonder, is this big pile of good things even worth it? Should we continue on in light of these bad things? And that same thing happens to us. When life is hard, we tend to get distracted from what God has told us in Christ. But many of our problems come when we stop listening to what God has told us in Christ and start focusing so much on the bad and the difficult things in our life. And what we need to remember when life is hard is that what God has spoken in Christ is the best thing for us. Now, this is hard because sometimes that seems like the least practical thing that we could do. I mean, imagine you're, you know, barely making ends meet, and then all of a sudden you find out that your car needs $1,000 of work, right? Like, go to a Bible study, think about Jesus, read the Bible. It doesn't sound like that's something that will help that situation. I need to figure out a way to earn money. Or maybe you have a strained relationship in your family. And again, it doesn't seem practical to think about Christ. It seems more practical, what can I do to fix this? But your greatest need when life gets hard is to intently listen to what God has spoken in Christ. And that's how the book of Hebrews begins. And so the title of this sermon is Listen to What God Has Spoken in Christ. Hebrews 1, 1-3. I'll read it and then pray. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's pray. Lord, our greatest need is to listen to what you have spoken in Christ. And yet, there's oftentimes that we don't do that, that we allow the hard things in our life to distract us from what you've told us in Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that we would listen again intently to what you've told us in Christ, Lord, and that it would be a solution to all of our problems, that it would give us the perspective that we need, that it would remind us what life is all about, that it would remind us that we have one that we can go to when life is hard that will help us through any difficult situation that we encounter. And so, Lord, speak to us tonight again through Christ. And Lord, pray that we would listen intently. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So listen to what God has spoken in Christ. First, listen because there is nothing better for you than Christ. And this is verses 1 and 2. Really, verses 1 through 4 are actually one long sentence. And the point of the sentence is this: God has spoken in Christ. And the key thought with these verses is that God wanted to reveal himself in a special and final way in Christ. God wants to be known. He wants to be experienced. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience eternal life, right? That's what it says in the Gospel of John. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Christ. And he wants that for you. He wants you to know him. And this is even more striking when you consider that really the heart of sin is you saying, I don't want to know you, God. I don't want anything to do with you. And how do we usually respond if someone is hostile towards us? We cut off all communication. We give the cold shoulder. We turn our backs on someone, but not God. God, in the midst of us spurning him, has spoken in Christ. He's revealed himself to us. No cold shoulder with God. If you think about the book of Hebrews as a sermon, this is really the author's way of getting everyone's attention right up front. God has spoken. You need to listen to what he says. And again, remember, these are people that are struggling. These are people that are wondering, is it worth it to keep pursuing Christ? And he says, yes, it is worth it. And you need to listen to what he says about Christ because you've forgotten, if you're even entertaining that question. And so verses 1 and 2, they present a series of contrasts to show how God has spoken finally and uniquely in Christ. And there are three contrasts in these two verses. There's a contrast of time, there's a contrast of audience, and then there's a contrast of mode, or how did God speak in these different ways. And so we need to listen to Christ because there's nothing better for us than Christ. First, Christ's revelation is final. Notice the contrast of time in verse 1. Says, God, after he spoke, when long ago? Verse 2, when did he speak? In these last days. So God spoke in the past. God spoke before Christ came. He spoke at various stages of history all throughout the Old Testament. But what he's saying in these verses is that all of that speaking before was in preparation for a final speaking that God wanted to do in Christ. Because it says God has spoken in verse 2 in these last days. Because Christ has come, these are the last days. We are in the final stage of history. And God has spoken. Everything God wanted to say for all time, he has said in Christ. What does that mean? It means no further revelation should be expected or necessary. Christ is the final complete revelation from God. Everything we need to know about God, everything that God wanted us to know about himself, he has revealed in Jesus Christ. Anyone that says that you can know God apart from Christ is deceived or a liar. Anyone that says Christ is just one prophet and that many others have come after him telling you more about God is deceived or a liar. Islam is wrong. Mormonism is wrong. You cannot know more about God than what Christ has revealed. And if you want the final picture of what God is like, look no further than Jesus Christ. And God speaking today is just bringing to mind what he's already spoken in Christ. I mean, you could think about it like a music artist, right? They put out all these different albums, and hopefully, if it's a good band, over the course of time, each album is getting progressively better and better and better and more just an example of what this band is all about. Well, if God's that way, this is God's greatest album, and he sort of retired from speaking after Christ came. And that what we do now as listeners is that we just are playing that album of Christ on repeat over and over and over again. But the great thing about this album is it's not going to get old, right? You can only play those Bee Gees albums so many times, but eventually they're going to get old. But this album about Christ is never going to get old. And as you listen to it, you're only going to hear and appreciate more and more things about God. And what God has spoken in Christ is going to reverberate for all time until he returns. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ, because Christ's revelation is final. But Christ's revelation is also personal. Notice the contrast in the audience. Verse 1, God spoke to who? To the fathers. Verse 2, God spoke to who? To us, or to whom, I guess it should be. But there's a contrast there in the audience. Not only is God speaking final, but it's also personal. That he spoke to the fathers before, but now he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you through Christ, and you need to respond. This is not a take it or leave it speaking that you can just kind of, whatever. No, this is a speaking that requires a response. It's speaking to you. I don't know if you've had this experience as parents, you know, maybe you're talking and trying to discuss something and the kids are asking questions and you don't really hear them, but the kids are not going to allow you to not hear their question, to not respond to them. They're going to keep asking it until you respond. And that's the idea here, that this is a communication that you have to respond to. You can't ignore it. It's God speaking to you. And so how will you respond? One last contrast. Christ's revelation is superior because it comes through a superior way. Look at verse 1 again. How did God speak in the past? In the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways. How did he speak in these last days in verse 2? In his Son. So there's really two contrasts wrapped up into one here. The first is that God spoke in the past in many portions and in many ways. God spoke in various parts, and God spoke in various ways in the Old Testament. Right? With Adam and Eve, he spoke face to face. With Abraham and Moses, he spoke with an audible voice. He spoke in visions. He spoke in dreams. He even spoke in haircuts. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 5, there's this interesting scene where he tells Ezekiel to cut his hair off, to take one third of it and burn it, take one third of it, strike it with a sword, take another third of it and throw it in the air and let the wind catch it, and then take a few strands and tuck them into his robe. And the idea here was that there'd be judgment for most, but salvation for a few. But even God spoke in the past, even in haircuts. But everything that God spoke in the past, though it was accurate, it was incomplete, right? He told Adam and Eve about the seed who would bruise the serpent's head. He told Isaiah that there would be a suffering servant who would suffer for his people. He told David that there would be a king who would rule forever. Even this morning, he gave laws in Leviticus that let us show that we need a sacrifice for our sins. Now, none of these things were wrong, but they were piecemeal. They were true, but not full. And the contrast that the author of Hebrews is representing here is that Christ has come once and for all. Not in many portions or in many ways anymore, but once and for all, a final revelation from God to reveal who he is. Christ is not a partial revelation. He is the definite and definitive and final revelation from God. Now, you might be tempted to think that, well, maybe it would be better to have God speak in many portions and in many ways like he did before. An audible voice, that would be nice, you know, to tell you what to do. A dream or a vision telling me my future, that sounds good. But no. What the author is saying is that what God has spoken once and for all in Christ is better than any other way that God has communicated in the past. Christ is the best revelation from God for you. Why? Because of this last contrast, because he spoke in a son. Again, before in verse 1, it says he spoke in the prophets. Again, what the prophets revealed was good. It was true. It gave you a sense of who God was. But the prophets were really just a mouthpiece. I mean, they're just a dictation machine. God speaks, tells the prophets, say this. And so they say it. And so they're just men repeating what God has said. But what God has done in a son is so much better. And when it says here that God spoke in his son, it's not merely identifying the individual God chose to speak through, Jesus, but it's saying the way he spoke was different. Before it was prophet revelation. This is son revelation. Like it'd be the difference between me sending you a letter and me sending you my son, right, to give a message. It's more intimate. It's more personal. It's emphasizing that the quality of the revelation through Christ is so much better because it's coming through a son, not a prophet like that. It's a completely different quality of revelation. Fournay Bakery in Berkeley is the best bakery around. It's no question. It's not even close. It makes Bouchon taste like dog food. Well, maybe not that far, but it is the best bakery around. Now, if I wanted to convince you that Fournay Bakery was the best bakery around, I could do a lot of things. I could describe the food to you. I could tell you about the ingredients. I could give you a recipe. I could send you a picture. You could read the reviews. And all of those things would be accurate, and they would give you a sense of what Fournay Bakery is really like. But if I really wanted to convince you that it's the best bakery there is, I would bring you a chocolate almond croissant, or I would bring you a scone, or I would bring you a morning bun, and biting into that crispy, buttery, cinnamon and sugary morning bun would be a completely different kind of revelation. You would experience it in a way you never could experience it before if all I did was give you pictures and ingredients and recipes. God has spoken in this way through Christ. It's not like anything else that he's ever done. And it's not, again, that anything he revealed in the past was wrong. It did give you a sense of who God was. But if you really want to know God, you have to look to Christ. He is God's final and complete revelation. And it's not just that Christ gives you more information about God. He's not just like the best book about God. No, he allows you to see and experience God. It's not academic. It's personal. When you listen to what God has spoken in Christ, you experience God in a way that you never could before. Because he shepherds you. He cares for you. You have this relationship now with God that you never could have had before. And so listen, because there is nothing better for you than Christ. He's the only way that you can see and experience God. But again, trials have this way of distracting us from listening to what God has spoken in Christ. And what happens when we stop listening? Well, that just makes things worse. And we start listening to other things. We start listening to other people, thinking that they're a better solution for the difficulties that we face. Maybe you're scraping by financially and you know that layoffs are coming at work. And so rather than trusting what God has spoken in Christ, you start to feel like, well, maybe I need to assert myself more at work. I need to make sure I'm grabbing credit where I can. Maybe I need to throw a couple coworkers under the bus so that my job is secure and I have a secure future. But that's just going to make things worse. And that's going to cause you to have anxiety and fear. Instead, you could listen to what God has spoken in Christ, that if he's given you Christ, how is he not going to give you everything else that you need? Or maybe you've been living for Christ, but you're still struggling to overcome sin, and you feel like, well, maybe Christ isn't working. I need to go and listen and try something else. And you can go two ways with this one, right? You can say, well, oh, I have to overcome this sin, so I'm going to get accountability. I'm going to get rules. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And you can get legalistic about it. But then on the other side, you could say, well, maybe God's not going to give me victory over this sin, and I should just not try anymore. And you could go both ways. But both of those things happen when you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ, because there's nothing better for you than Christ. He's the only way you'll see and experience God. So, what did God want to uniquely communicate through Christ? And what's interesting about the book of Hebrews is it starts with the statement that God has spoken in Christ. And what would you expect the rest of the book to be filled with? Quotations from Christ, I would expect, right? Because if God's speaking through Christ, you'd expect a bunch of Christ's words. But I don't think you have any of Christ's words quoted in the book of Hebrews. Because what God wanted to reveal, what God wanted to uniquely reveal about himself, comes not through the words of Jesus necessarily, but through who Jesus is and what he has done. And the rest of these verses are going to highlight several things about Christ that God wanted to uniquely reveal. So what does God want to uniquely communicate through Christ? Two things, really, in the rest of these verses. That Christ is superior over all things, and that Christ offers superior care for you. Or to put it in other words, life is all about Christ, and Christ can help you live that way. And so, second, listen to what God has spoken in Christ to remember that Christ is exalted above all things. That's one of the key things that you need to know when you listen to what God has spoken in Christ, is that Christ is over all things. Don't forget, he is the reason that all things exist. And he says it in three ways in these verses. First, in verse 2, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, first whom he appointed heir of all things. Christ is the heir of all things. He is the thing for which everything was created. And so remember that everything was created for him. That's the idea of an heir. An heir gets an inheritance. He gets all the things that belong to him. And so that's what Christ is. He's the heir. Everything belongs to him. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me, I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. And the amazing thing is, it's not only the nations that belong to Christ, it's not only the ends of this earth that belong to Christ, but it is everything in the universe belongs to him. It says he is the heir of all things, not just all things on this planet, but all things that exist. Second, remember that he is the one who created all things at the end of verse 2, through whom also he, God, made the world. All things were created by the Son, which incidentally means that he is not a part of everything that was created. He was not created. He existed before creation because he's the one who created all things, or the world, it says in verse 2. And when it says the world, it, again, it's not just talking about this planet. Really, if you wanted to kind of give kind of a literal translation, you would say that he made the ages. He made everything that materially exists. He created time. He created space. He created the course of history that will follow after his creation. He's created everything. He created you. He created everything that exists in your life. Christ did this. So remember that all things were created by him. And then last, remember that Christ reigns over all things. And this is the end of verse 3. It says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What that means is that he has not only created all things, and not only that everything was created for him, but that he's presently reigning over all of those things as well. He's seated at the right hand of God, the position of supreme authority, making sure that everything happens according to his plans and purposes. Life is all about Christ. Everything is created for him, everything is created by him, and he is ruling over everything. And so what God wanted you to know when he spoke through Christ is that life is all about him. But what happens when you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ and forget that life is all about him? Well, then you start living for yourself. You know, maybe you're a husband and father, and you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ, that life is all about him, and you start noticing that your coworkers, they go out a lot, they have a lot of fun, they play golf, they buy all the newest gadgets, and you start to feel like, you know what, I deserve some of those things too. And so you start living for yourself, and then you become annoyed at your wife and your kids, because ultimately, rather than being the blessings they should, they become nuisances because they're impeding you from getting what you want. Ministry can even be like this. You start doing ministry for yourself and not for Christ. How do you know that? Because you become like Martha, right? You're so focused that I'm doing so much work. What about these people? They're not doing anything. It's like, why do I have to do everything and they do nothing? Ministry can be selfish at times. Or another indication that you're living for yourself and not for Christ is that when hardship comes, you get angry at God. You think, God, how could you let this happen to me? But instead of living for yourself, God wants you to hear that life is all about Christ. Because that changes your perspective on everything. When a trial comes, when a hardship comes, you don't think, God, how could you? You think, God, glorify Christ through this, even this. Knowing that Christ reigns over all keeps you focused on his glory, not your own. It keeps you humble. It keeps you looking for ways to exalt him as that husband or that father. It changes your perspective. You don't wake up in the morning again grumbling about work or the kids. You wake up thinking, Lord, how can I serve Christ today? How can I be a servant today? Help me to glorify Christ by loving my wife. Help me to glorify Christ by lovingly instructing and shepherding our children with patience and gentleness. Because this life isn't about me. It's about him. If you're busy serving, even if other people are not, it doesn't matter because you know that there's nothing better for you than to be serving Christ with your life. It also allows you to invite people to serve with joy, not guilt, because you know there's nothing better for them than to be serving Christ with their life. As a 20-something, it changes your perspective when you wake up in the morning from what do I want to do today to Christ, how can you use me today? Helps you lay aside the video games and think about, you know, what are the needs that I can meet in the church? How can I live for Christ and not for myself? Because life is all about him. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ because it reminds you what life is all about. And when you know what life is all about, you can actually live it with joy. When you forget what life is all about and start living for yourself, it will always end in frustration and disappointment. And you will never have joy apart from living for Christ. So listen to what God has spoken in Christ. Now you might be tempted to think that if everything exists for Christ and his purposes, well, where does that leave you? How does Christ being exalted above all things help you? But the glory of these verses is that it says that Christ's exaltation is intimately tied to how he cares for his people. Because both the way that Christ became in this position of honor and also how Christ exercises this position of honor are through his care for you. Christ is in this position of honor because he cared for you. And Christ exercises this position of honor through the way that he cares for you. And so listen to remember that Christ, not only is he exalted over all things, but he's exalted through the way that he cares for you. Do not forget in this life that Christ cares for you. And there's three ways that he wants to highlight this in these verses. First, remember that Christ came to show you God. Look at verse 3. It says, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. He radiates the glory of God. Just like our S-U-N sun in the sky is known by its light and its heat, God is known by Christ. He radiates who God is because he is God. It's only through Christ that you can see and experience God. It says next that he is the exact imprint of his nature. He is the ultimate like Father, like Son. And in the perfect way of that, the way that phrase is used, it isn't emphasizing that the Son is an offspring of the Father. It's emphasizing that the Son is the same as the Father. He is the exact imprint of his nature. He has the same nature as the Father. He is God. He's the identical imprint. He's not just a similar imprint. The Son is not some cheap knockoff. He's not the LeBron Lakers jersey that you're going to go get at the gas station parking lot after this service is over, where if you put that thing in the wash, the numbers are going to fall off, the letters are going to fall off, because it's not the real deal. But Christ is the real deal. When you want to know God, you have to look to Christ. And this is the one that cares for you, the one who is in every way equal to the Father cares for you. And that's the emphasis of these verses. These verses aren't just here to tell you that Jesus is God, though they do tell you that Jesus is God. These verses are here to say that Christ wanted to come so he could reveal the Father to you. It goes all the way back to that initial statement that God has spoken. God wants you to know him. And so he sent the only person who could reveal him, Jesus Christ. And this is the first evidence that he cares for you. He wants you to know what God is like. And so he came as the radiance of his glory in the exact imprint of his nature. So remember that Christ came to show you God. Remember also that Christ is intimately involved in your life. Look at the next phrase. It says he's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Christ is intimately involved with his creation. Some people picture God as this kind of cosmic clockmaker who puts all the pieces together, winds it up, and then just lets it go and doesn't even have to look at it. He can go have a latte on the back porch while his creation goes. But that's not the way that Christ is. He is intimately tied to his creation. He is sustaining it. He is making sure that it functions according to his purposes. And that goes all the way down to your life. He is intimately involved in your life. He is in control, and he is going to make sure that his plans are accomplished. And so the one who is in every way equal to the Father is going to make sure his plans are accomplished. Well, what are his plans? The very next phrase, that he made purification for sins. Again, when he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power, this is not just saying that the universe is held together by Christ. It's more than that. He's saying that he is upholding and carrying out all things to make sure that his plan will be accomplished. That's the emphasis of the phrase, he upholds all things. It's not impersonal description, just telling you something about Jesus. No, it's saying more than that. He's saying that Christ will make sure his plan to purify you from sin will be accomplished. There is no way that it's not going to happen. He is upholding all things by his powerful word because he cares for you. His plans for your life will be accomplished. What does this mean? It means that that trial that you're in is him accomplishing his plans for you. That classmate that's so difficult to love is his good purpose for you. That chronic illness, that chronic pain that makes life so difficult at times is his good purpose for you. The difficulties that we face, they're not accidents. They're Christ making sure that his plans are accomplished. And his plan is to care for you. And so listen to what God is saying in Christ, that he's intimately involved in your life. And then finally, and the best place to end on a night like tonight with communion is remember that Christ has cleansed you from sin. It says at the end of middle of verse 3 that he made purification for sins. Notice it says purification. It doesn't say forgiveness, though he does forgive you from your sins. When Christ died on the cross, he was not just removing the penalty. He wasn't just forgiving you. He was cleansing you. Why is that significant? Because you can't interact with God unless you're cleansed. It's even beyond forgiveness. He wants you to have access to God so that you can live a different life than you lived before. The condemnation of sin has been removed, but now also you have access to a power that can actually help you live this life. That wouldn't have happened had he not purified you from sin. The rest of Hebrews is going to talk about that you can approach boldly, right? The throne of grace and find mercy and help in your time of need. So in addition to removing the penalty of sin, he was actually delivering you from sin's tyranny or sin's mastery over you. He wanted to cleanse you so that you'd have access to power to get sin out of your life. He had you in mind when he laid down his life on the cross. And he was saying to God, this person, he will no longer be a slave to lust because I'm going to purify him. I'm going to give him access to you where you can actually change him from someone that was dominated by lust to someone who can live free from lust, free from that sin. He was saying to God, she is no longer going to be plagued with guilt. I'm going to cleanse her so that she will not be the same person she was before. I'm not just going to forgive it. I'm going to cleanse it. I'm going to purify it. I'm going to lay down my life to purify my people. He doesn't just want to forgive your sins. He wants to eradicate sin from your life. He wants to deliver you from it. He wants to cleanse you from it so that you can have access to God. And when he did that work, it says he sat down at the right hand of God. It's done. It's finished. He has done it. He's accomplished what he came to do. He has purified you from your sin. He's taken everything that makes him God, and he has used it to rescue his people. And because of it, he's going to sit on that throne forever, interceding for his redeemed people, continually helping them to be totally cleansed from sin. Christ is reigning on his throne, and he is reigning for God, and he is reigning for you. And that is what God wanted to reveal through Christ, that he couldn't reveal in any other way except through sending his son to die on the cross for you. He wanted you to know that the exalted Christ is the solution to all of your problems. Only the exalted Christ can make purification for sins. Only the exalted Christ can give us confidence to draw near the throne of grace. Only Christ can give us help in our time of need. Only Christ can satisfy our every longing. Only Christ can help us persevere to the end. Only Christ can deliver us from death. Only Christ can lead us to glory. And it is only the exalted Christ that is our true source of hope and help in this life and in the life to come. He came to reveal that to you. God sent him to reveal that to you because he wanted you to know that. He wanted you to know that life is all about him and that he cares for you. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ. Christ has revealed God. He has mediated for you to God, and he is going to rule forever. He is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king, and he will be that forever. So don't stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ. No matter how hard life gets, no matter what trial you're going through, do not stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ. Because when you do stop listening, you forget that he cares for you and that he's there to help you. But don't stop listening. Remember that he is there, that he's exalted, and that he's exalted through the way he cares for you. So when that loved one passes away, you go to him. When that child goes wayward, you go to him. When that relationship seems broken, you go to him and he will help you. When it doesn't seem like you can make it another day, you go to Christ. He cares for you. He is there to help you. He wants to exalt himself through the way that he cares for you. That's what God has spoken in Christ. And as we turn to communion, use this time as a way to confess the ways that you've stopped listening to what God has spoken in Christ. That you've stopped listening to the fact that life is all about Christ. Or maybe you've stopped listening to the fact that Christ cares for you and you've started turning to other things. Confess those things and remember once again that Christ died to purify you from sin. That he's presently reigning over all things for your good and that he is God's final and complete revelation. Let's pray. Lord, what you've revealed in your Son is amazing. That you've revealed that what life is all about, that what all of creation, the creation of the entire universe, not even just our planet, but that everything exists for him because he created all things. He's the heir of all things, and he's reigning over all of those things. Life is about him. Remind us of that, Lord, because sometimes we forget, and when we forget that, it just goes bad for us. And Lord, also remind us that Christ cares for us, that he wanted to exalt himself by purifying us from our sins, and that even now as he's exalted, he wants to continue to exalt himself through the way that he cares for us. And so, Lord, we are amazed at what you've revealed in Christ. We pray that you would help us to listen to what you've spoken in Christ. Don't let us forget it. Don't let us stop listening. Remind us of it every day so that whenever we encounter whatever trial, whatever hardship that we go through, that we'll remember that you're in control, that Christ is in control, and that Christ is doing something good even for us through it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.